Jesus is alive. We sure are missing each one of you this morning. Thank you for joining us as we celebrate our risen Savior. And even though this Easter day of celebration is different this year than any other time in our life, God is not different. He is still the all-powerful, true, faithful, and the forever wise and loving God. He is still the only one who has ever given his life, resurrected from the dead, and transcended into heaven to prepare a place for us. He is the only one who has sent his Spirit, the Comforter, to guide us and to empower us. There is no other God above our God. And so today, we celebrate in homes all over the world. Jesus is alive forevermore. On that first Easter, Satan thought that he was victorious over Jesus Christ. But had he known that the church of the living God would come back stronger than ever, he would not have crucified Christ. Today, we the church may be celebrating Easter in our homes, but we are growing stronger. And when we gather together again, we will be stronger than ever because our God is victorious and God is on our side. One of the ways that we have celebrated Easter in the past with our children is in an Easter egg hunt. The Easter egg hunt is a simple reminder of our daily life with Christ. In the Easter egg hunt, a child seeks for the egg because they know there is a prize waiting inside. So every day, we should be seeking for new life in Christ Jesus. God has something new to reveal to us every single day, even during this time of stay home COVID-19. Don't allow the circumstances of COVID-19 to steal from you, but allow the new life of Jesus Christ to resurrect his peace in your life. Allow the Spirit of the living God to reveal his purpose for every area and every circumstance of your life. The last few weeks we have been building our prayer. We began with worshiping our great God. We repented of our sins. Then we petitioned the Lord with our request. And last week we began thanking him for our blessings. This week, we are going to invite the Lord in our heart and ask him to reveal new life to us. Join with us as we pray together this Easter Sunday morning, opening our hearts to new life in Christ and celebrating our risen Savior. Lord, Master of everything, we thank you this morning for hearing us today. Thank you for your great love in that you gave your life in complete humiliation for the sins of all mankind. You bore all rebellion, all guilt, and all shame, and you reconciled us back to God. Lord Jesus, we open our heart and we invite you into our life today. Forgive us of every sin. Make our heart a reflection of you. Lord, we invite your Spirit into our heart. Fill us with a peace that passes all understanding, a purpose that fulfills us each day, and a joy that is unexplainable. Fill us with your Spirit to empower us to overcome every obstacle and circumstance that life would bring our way. And we thank you, Lord, for breaking every chain of sin, every chain of fear, and every chain of mortality so that we may live in freedom and blessing and peace and purpose and favor, and so that we may experience life eternal. Today, Lord, we seek to know more of you. And on this Easter Sunday, reveal new life to each one of us. Thank you that you will never stop loving us. Thank you for giving your all to us. And now, on this Easter, we give our all to you. and we celebrate you, Lord Jesus, our King, the one true and living God, Jesus Christ, alive forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray.
Your goodness, I would be desperate without your love, slave to the darkness. If it wasn't for the cross, you have won me with your kindness. Chase me down when I was lost. What would I be if it wasn't for the cross? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. With your blood, shame was met with mercy. Now your mercy will be my song. And all the glory, all the power of the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sin is overcome. It is finished. It is done. By your stripes I'm healed. By your death I live. The power of sin is overcome. It is finished. It is done. By your stripes I'm healed. By your death I live. The power of sin is overcome. It is finished, it is done. By your stripes I'm healed. By your death I live. The power of sin is overcome. It is finished, it is done. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. With your blood, you. My freedom, oh hallelujah.
Jesus. We worship you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, the rains fall and the storms begin to rage. You are speaking. You calm the winds and waves. When the night falls, I carry burdens too. Grace is reaching for me. On the cross, you have won. It is finished.
Goodness and for your mercy, God, that we can exchange our sin to you for your blood. We thank you, Lord, for it. You see, in the early church, the Roman Empire was oppressing the people of Israel. And this is where the early church was starting, was in Israel. And look at today's day, we kind of see COVID-19 seeming to oppress the normality of what Easter normally is about. Normally, this whole building is basically full. You're all dressed up in your nicest clothes. But guess what? Even through the oppression of the Roman Empire, the church grew daily. And you know where they grew daily at? In their homes, where you're at. The power, the miracles, the signs, and the wonders happen in their home, where you're at. Guess what? Most of them didn't have running water, no electricity, no deodorant. They were all smelling like BO, no toilet paper. But guess what? The Lord was still moving in their lives, in their homes. So don't belittle this Easter when in your home, miracles, signs, and wonders can happen. And you're probably thinking, Trey, you're just hyping us up. No, I'm serious. Because if the early church can do it in their homes, so can we do it. And guess what? You're in your home, the comfort of your home, a no judgment place. This is the time to experiment with your worship and test God. God, what is all this miracle, sign, and wonder stuff about? I want to see it. Do it in my home today. Because guess what? If he will do it for the early church, he'll do it for the now church in your home. So we have a few announcements for you this morning. Our first one is for our kids' Sunday school videos on Facebook. They went live at 9 a.m. this morning. And our youth Sunday school videos went live at 9:30 a.m. this morning. Though it's past 10 o'clock, you can still view the videos even now and throughout the day. So, tomorrow, Monday, at 7 p.m., Pastor will be having a Zoom meeting for anyone new who has been watching our videos. You can get the code to enter into the Zoom meeting by messaging us on Facebook, and we will send you the code. And so that is for anyone who's been watching our videos who wants to learn more about TPC and what we're all about. Our next announcement is there are multiple ways to give. There's our app. If you can go in the app store, and it looks like our little flame logo, if you know what that looks like. Or you can go online to tpcdq.church, not .com, .church. Or we can mail you tithing and offering envelopes, and then you can bring that up to the church, or you can mail it back in to give. We want to let you know that today can still be a massively credible and amazing Easter, but it's up to you. You're going to have to allow that to enter into your home. If you're just in this just to be like, I'm just going to sit here and watch, then that's all you're going to get. It's just a show for you. But we're not in it for the show. We're in it to see what the Holy Spirit wants to do for us today. So, our TPC family, we love you, and we hope and pray you have an amazing Easter today. God bless you.
resurrection morning, we greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning and watching our online service. You know, as Trey mentioned earlier, I just want to remind you that any of you who have joined us maybe for the past 3 or 4 weeks, or maybe you've been watching for a month or two, and you would just like to know more information about TPC, I really want to encourage you to join me tomorrow night at 7 p.m. for a Zoom video chat. And we're just going to have an informal meeting. We're just going to talk about TPC and maybe some questions that you may have. I'll tell you now, I don't have all the answers. I wish that I did, but I will do my best to answer any of your questions. And we would just love for you to join us tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Well, we're just going to get right into what I feel in my spirit. And we're going to talk about the greatest event in history. You know, some people say that the greatest event in history was the American Revolution. Others say that it was the Reformation or the tearing down of the Berlin Wall. Some say that it was World War II or the Gutenberg printing press. Others say that it was placing man on the moon. And while all those are great and significant events, I believe that the greatest event in all of history was the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The resurrection splits history into AD and BC. In a word, nothing even comes close. In fact, every other event in history are dated by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, even your birthday is dated by the date, the month, and the year since the resurrection of Christ. Now, let me just explain the difference between resurrection and resuscitation. Now, if one faints, they can be resuscitated. There's even been people that have been involved in comas that have been resuscitated. But resurrection means that you were buried in the grave for 3 days and then you came back to life. Only Jesus Christ can claim that. And what did the resurrection do? Well, it changed the Lord's followers from being afraid and being disillusioned to having courage and being filled with contagious hope. When his followers saw that Jesus truly had been raised from the dead, it literally changed everything for them. And here's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You know, the whole reason that Jesus died on the cross was so that all of you and I could be free from our guilt. God didn't want us to carry our sins and the heaviness of regrets and all of our guilt. And I don't know if you've ever asked the question, maybe you've never even thought about it, but who really killed Jesus so that we could be set free from all of our sin and guilt? Well, it wasn't Judas, and it wasn't Caiaphas, who was the high priest, and it wasn't Pilate, who was the governor, and it wasn't the Romans, and it wasn't the religious leaders, and it wasn't even the crowd who put Jesus on the cross. This may shock you to know, but it was God. That's right. God put Jesus on the cross. It was God's plan. One verse says, before the foundation of the world, he was the lamb that was slain. And if you go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53 and verse 10, it tells us, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. This doesn't mean that God was evil or mad. That's not what this means. What it means is that God knew the only way that we could be set free from our guilt and our sin and our past was to put all of that upon Jesus at the cross. And so Isaiah prophesied 700 years in chapter 53, Isaiah prophesied about the Messiah 700 years before Jesus ever even came to the earth. He prophesied that Christ would go to the cross. See, if none of us had ever sinned, then Jesus would not have had to die for our sins. Here's what the Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 4 and verse 25. Jesus was handed over to die because of our sin, and he was raised from the dead to make us right with God. So it was God's plan, and it was us who put Jesus on the cross. He was crucified so that we, you and I, could be made right with God and be completely forgiven of our sins. Now, here's what Jesus says in John chapter 11 and verse 25. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again." Brothers and sisters, that is a great reason for hope, is because though he were dead, this is speaking to you and I, even though this earthly body will one day pass away, our spirit will never die. And because Jesus was resurrected on that third day, he tells us that if you're in me, if you're in Christ, and I am in you, then I want you to know that not even the grave is going to be able to hold you down. We have a hope because Jesus was resurrected, that we too can be resurrected. You know, after the resurrection, Jesus walked among his followers for 40 days. And at the end of those 40 days, after he had made himself and showed himself to his disciples, the Bible speaks that he had shown himself to over 500 people. You know, it's one thing that if I were to tell you, hey, the Queen of England came and she had lunch with me today. Some of you would say, well, really? Sure. All right. But then if there were 10 people or maybe 50 people that saw the Queen of England in that restaurant with me, or 500 people, there were 500 witnesses that saw the Queen of England in the restaurant, then it's going to be hard to really refute that the Queen of England and I had lunch together. That's why Jesus made sure that he showed not only his followers, but 500 and many people. He showed himself. Why? Because he wanted them to know, not just one person or two people saw him resurrected, but many of his followers saw him resurrected, so that there would be no mistake about it. Even though the Romans tried to cover it up, there is no covering up the resurrection, ladies and gentlemen. The resurrection is the greatest event in all of history, because even though you and I will one day pass away, because we have the Spirit of Christ in us, we're going to live eternally with the Lord. And so at the end of those 40 days before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told them this. He said, "Don't do anything until I send the Holy Spirit to you." And Jesus says this in Acts 1 and verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Jesus is saying, "I am going to send the Holy Spirit to give you power that you cannot do on your own." Now, this changed his followers. It changed them from being cowards to being courageous. It changed them from being hopeless to being hopeful. Why? Because now they were filled with the Spirit. Do you know that God never intended any of us to just live on our own power? God wants to have a personal connection with each of us. He wants to put His love and His power and His Spirit inside of you. You know, when Trey was little, he always liked superheroes. He wanted to have a superpower. Well, in a sense, you can say that the Holy Spirit gives us a supernatural advantage. In other words, the power of the Holy Spirit, in a sense, gives us superpower. It gives you an additional power that you don't have on your own. And when you don't have that power, you say things like, man, I'm at the end of my rope. I'm just barely hanging on. I don't know how I'm going to get through this week. Man, I'm just ready to throw in the towel. I don't even feel like I can make it. Do you know why that people say things like that? Is because you and I were never meant to live by just our own willpower alone. God wants us to be plugged in to His power. You see, a blender cannot fulfill its function if it's not plugged in. A toaster cannot fulfill its purpose if it's not plugged in. A vacuum cleaner cannot fulfill its purpose if it's not plugged in to the power source. And neither can you nor I, can we fulfill our mission and our purpose if we're not plugged in to the power. And that's why Jesus says, listen, I want you to go and tarry in Jerusalem because I'm going to send a power that's going to give you a supernatural advantage. It's going to help you to overcome your fears and your worries and your frustrations. It's going to help you to overcome your despairs and your difficulties because you were never meant to make it by yourself. Brothers and sisters, I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but you need more than willpower. You need God's power. And that's why He's come, so that He could give you the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, now here's the amazing thing. This is truly amazing. And that is this. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you and I on a daily basis. You say, Pastor, are you joking? No, I'm really serious. I want you to look at this next verse. This is found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. This is the New Living Translation. It says this: I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand. What is this power? It is the power of God's Spirit in your life. You may say, well, what does that mean to me? Well, if God's Spirit can raise a dead Jesus, then it can raise a dead marriage. And if God's Spirit can raise a dead Jesus, then it can raise a dead-end job. And if God's Spirit can raise a dead man, then it can raise a dead dream in your life. And if God's Spirit can raise a dead Jesus, then He can do anything in your life. I want you to know I may be here this morning in front of an empty audience, but I feel the power of the Holy Spirit on me right now. And this power that I'm talking about is the power to set you free from your past. Hallelujah. It is the power to break the memories of yesterday that have been holding you back. It is the power to start over when you feel like giving up. It is the power to change things that you could never change on your own. It is the power to forgive those who have betrayed you and lied on you and done you wrong. It is the power to overcome hurts and habits and hang-ups that hold you back. It is the power to keep you going when you feel like giving up. And guess what? That power is available to you. And that is one of the reasons that we as believers and followers of Jesus Christ have hope today. Now here's another reason why that we have hope. God will never, never, ever stop loving us. I want you to look in Jeremiah on the screen. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. Here's what God says. Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Did you know that God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love? In other words, God loved you before you even loved him. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because Romans tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The reason why we even know love, the reason why we even feel the emotion of love is because God is love. And God brought love into the world because that's who God is. God knew you before you were even formed in your mother's womb, and he loved you. And that is a reason why we as the followers of Christ have hope. Now here's another reason that we have hope. We know the purpose that we were created for. My wife and I have come in contact with literally hundreds and thousands of people in the past 30 plus years of ministry. And here's a sad thing that we've realized. Most people do not know their purpose in life. Most people really live their life in a circle. They're not living their life going forward. Most people don't know their purpose, and that's why that when you don't know your purpose, you have this big empty hole in you, and you try to fill that emptiness on the inside of you with money and sex and prestige and possessions. You try to fill it with success and travel and pleasure and sports and hobbies. And all of those can be good things, but they're never going to take the place of you knowing why you were in this world and why you exist. See, you got to get this. You got to get this. You were made by God and you were made for God. And if you don't get that, then none of life is going to make sense. See, you're not really living until you are connected to God. You're just existing because you were made for so much more than just to get up in the morning, go to work, do your work day, come home, watch a little TV, go to bed, and get up, rinse and repeat. You were made for more than just making some money, having a 401k, buying some toys, having a little bit of success. You were made for more than that. In fact, Jesus says, you're not really living until you get me in your life. Here's a verse that Jesus says in John 10 and 10. I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullness. Fullness of life doesn't mean you got fullness when you just have a little taste of success or you got a few coins in your bank account. The fullness of life never happens until you fill that empty void on the inside of you with the power of Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you a very sobering question today. Do you know that if you were to die today, Where would you spend eternity? I'm going to ask you this question. If you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? And do you know what you're willing to die for? If you don't really know what you're willing to die for, then you're not really ready to live. And here's why I say that. You know, after Jesus was resurrected and his disciples and others saw him, they knew that Jesus had come back from the dead. It made those early Christians fearless in the face of death because they knew that there was more to life than just the here and now, because he had already told them, if you believe in me, I'm going to tell you, he said, if you believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. And the resurrection, it gave those followers a revelation. And the revelation was, if Jesus can come back and he was raised, then that means we're going to be able to come back and we're going to be raised to newness of life. Because they saw with their own eyes that death was not the end. It was just a transition to better things. You know, people have asked me, well, what, Pastor, is heaven going to be like? Well, in a word, it's really going to be indescribable. You know, you and I trying to understand heaven would be like an ant trying to understand the internet. It just doesn't have the brain power to comprehend it, and neither do we. But I can tell you this, heaven is going to be beautiful. It's going to be indescribable. It's going to be amazing. Why? Because when you look at earth, and this earth is a broken planet, and nothing works perfectly on this earth, but even on a broken planet, there is so much beauty. Think about the sunrises and the sunsets. Think about the beautiful mountains and the majestic trees, the beautiful beaches and the beautiful flowers and all the beauty that God has created on earth. And yet this is an imperfect planet. Imagine what a perfect place is going to be like with all of the sights and the sounds and the beauty and the colors and even dimensions that we don't fully grasp. It's going to be absolutely perfect. You know, the reason that most people just think, well, you know, heaven's not that big of a deal is because they have a TV version of heaven. And that TV version of heaven is totally white. You're walking around with fog up to your knees. You got on a little white robe and you're walking around heaven with a few little wings on your back and you're playing a harp. That's the TV version of heaven. The Bible says this about heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, no eye has seen and no ear has heard and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. If you get to thinking about that verse and you think about the first man until the last man who's going to be resurrected and saved and in the rapture, you think about all of the thoughts and the imaginations that men have had, literally in the trillions. And yet the scripture says that man hasn't even imagined what God has prepared for us. Brothers and sisters, you need to strike the TV image of heaven out of your mind. And you need to understand that heaven is a place that is going to be indescribable. And you're not going to want to miss it. You know, my wife, as I said earlier, she and I have been in ministry for 32 years. And Janet and I have walked hundreds of people through their sufferings and their sadness and their sorrow and their loss. And the more that we see of this broken planet, the more we see of assaults and rapes and violence and prejudice and racism and diseases, the outbreak of COVID-19, you know, the more we look forward to going to heaven. And here's why the resurrection is the greatest event, is because we've been forgiven of everything that we've ever done wrong. Here's why the resurrection is the greatest event that ever happens, is because tonight, the Lord willing, we're going to go to bed with a clear conscience, knowing that in Christ we are completely forgiven. We have hope because we've got the Spirit of Christ living on the inside of us to help us make changes in our life that we can never make on our own. Here's another reason why that we have hope, is because we know that God will never stop loving us. The scripture says that nothing can separate us from God's love. We know that we have a purpose for living. We know that one day, by God's grace, we're going to a place called heaven. And here's my prayer for you, is that you would have that same confidence that we have. If you were to die tonight, would you be certain that you would go to heaven? If you say, well, you know, Pastor, I hope so. I'm going to tell you, that's not good enough. You need to be certain, and God wants you to be certain. If you were to stand before God tonight and God were to ask you this question, what have you done that will allow you to come into my house? Do you know the answer? You say, well, I tried to be a good person. Sorry, that's the wrong answer. You say, well, I've come to church. I'm sorry, that's good, but that's still the wrong answer. Why? Because you and I can't be good enough to get into a perfect place. Heaven is a perfect place, and God is a perfect God, and we are imperfect, and we cannot get in to see a perfect God in a perfect place without having a Savior in our life. I'm staking my claim, brothers and sisters. I am staking my claim that Jesus Christ rose from the dead on that third day, and that Jesus is not a liar. And I'm going to ask you the question, what are you staking your claim on? I'm not trying to get real heavy right now, but I'm going to just ask you, if you're staking your claim on finances or a 401k or a job, you see how quickly that can disappear. If you're staking your claim on a U.S. economy or even on your health, you can also see that can be here today and gone tomorrow. I hope that you are staking your claim on what is eternal. And that is, when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, nothing can take that away from you. I'm going to wrap this up this morning. You know, 1,000 years before you were born, God knew that on Easter Sunday morning in 2020, you would be watching right now online. With everything that's going on in our world, He wanted you to pause for just a few minutes. And He wanted to say something to you. And I believe this is what God would want to say to you this morning. I believe that He would want to say, I've known everything about you from the very moment that you were born. I saw you as you were formed in your mother's womb. I have a plan and I have a purpose for your life. Yes, I know the good. I know the bad. I know the ugly. I know the ups and I know the downs. And I never stopped loving you. See, you didn't love God first, and neither did I. He loved us first. And God has a plan and God has a purpose for your life. And I want you to know without a shadow of a doubt that your past is forgiven, that you have a purpose for living, and that you have a home up in heaven. But you got to be able to trust God. You got to stake your claim on the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And you say, Pastor, but you don't know me. I think it's maybe a little too late for me. I want to look right at you with all the love in my heart and spirit. And I just want to remind you, it's never too late to give your brokenness, your guilt, your sin, and your shame to Jesus Christ. Because we've all been broken. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need the power of the Holy Spirit. So my question to you this morning is this. Would you like to begin a new life of hope? Let me ask you this. Has your life changed? Has your life changed? If you say, well, not really, Pastor, then you don't know God. You don't know God. Because you can't know someone as wonderful as God and know the power of the Holy Spirit and your life not be changed, and it changed the way that you interact with other people. See, when God's Spirit comes into your life, it changes you. Changes you. And I believe that God has been preparing you for this moment. You say, so what do I do, Pastor? According to the scripture, according to the New Testament, the first thing that we do is we repent. What is repentance? Repentance is just simply saying that I am sorry for the way I've lived my life, that I have been in control of my life. But now what I want to do is I want to repent of that, and I want to make Jesus the CEO of my life. I want Him to be the boss of my life. And I give all of my sin, all of my shame, all of my regrets, all of my failures, and I lay it at the foot of the cross. See, that is the great exchange. We give Him our sin in repentance, and He gives us salvation. We give Him our brokenness, and He gives us His wholeness. Say, Pastor, what do I do? What you do right now, if you're in a room, a living room, a bedroom, no matter where you are, wherever you are, I'm just going to encourage you to bow your head and just begin to talk to God and just begin to say, God, Lord, I repent. And I'm asking you to be the CEO of my life. Forgive me of every evil deed. Forgive me of every, Lord, evil word I've spoken. Anything that I've done, Lord God, that would, Lord, offend you, forgive me. And I ask you to forgive me. And now let me tell you what happened. When Jesus told those disciples to go into the upper room and tarry until they be endued with power from on high. You can read this in Acts 2 and verse 38. The Bible says that they repented, then they were baptized in Jesus' name, and then they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And He gave them the power to speak with tongues as the Spirit filled their life. Say, Pastor, I don't know about that. Listen, you don't have to be scared of that. All you do is just say, God, here I am, Lord. I repent. I want you to fill me with your Spirit. The same power, God, that gave those followers hope on the day of Pentecost. I want you to give me that same Spirit come into my life. See, you can't do this on willpower. You can't do this on your power. You can't go through times like we're living through on your own power. You've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit. So right where you are, I want you to begin to just cry out to God and say, God, fill me with your Spirit. May God bless you today. It is my hope that you will just begin right where you are to call on the name of Jesus and invite Him into your life. Maybe you just lift your hands and say, God, fill me, Lord, with the power of the Holy Spirit. Fill the emptiness, fill the void, fill the longing in my life. God, I'm in need of you. If you'll say that, I promise you, He'll come to you right where you are.
You thought
in Jesus' name.
Saving. Oh, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. Yes, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be.
sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was forsaken, oh, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth it.